From KLW in San Francisco, I'm Max Jacobs, and this is Liner Notes. Turn it up.
Oh yes, this is powerful stuff. Got me circling like the moon round the sun. Acting crazy like a fool all drunk. Hear me, this is powerful stuff. There's no way for you to give it up. It's in your body, it's all in your blood.
Powerful Stuff by Sean Hayes is the song we're hearing in the background. The longtime Barry musician will join me on this hour of Liner Notes. For Sean Hayes, his interest in music and songwriting seems to revolve around trying to frame a moment in time. That could be with his own work, trying to chronicle a small piece of his life, which you can really hear in the raw honesty of his voice and in his writing. But it's also in the music that inspires him, like the good fortune that someone had the tape recorder on to capture some of the brilliant voices and sounds of the last century. Whether that's the blues guitar of Junior Kimbrough, or a live concert of Nina Simone in the Village, or the San Francisco living rooms that Jolie Holland recorded in during the late 90s.
And so this collection of songs was there, and this other guy named Chris Arnold actually put all those songs together in a compilation and said, hey, look, it's a record. And then Jolie had a record, and next thing you know, it was making the rounds and made it into a record label. But it's a real example of just field recordings that made it into the world.
I guess if there's something else I took from our conversation, it's that after over 20 years of making music, you could find inspiration from just about everything. Like his song Bam Bam, for instance.
Damn, the way you walk that thing, locked in a pocket, make a body ring. I always think of Snoop Dogg, actually, a little bit. Like, I like to hear him, because he's got that sultry tone and stuff. And sometimes, right when I start that song, I'll think of his voice a little bit.
Well, we'll hear those two songs along with many others, including some he's going to play in studio for us. But before I get too excited, let's just turn this one back up.
Give it up, even when you're yearning, burning, turning, can't give it up, won't give it up.
Welcome back to Liner Notes on KLW. I'm Max Jacobs, and I'm sitting here with Sean Hayes.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for being here. For those who are unfamiliar with your music, I'm wondering if, can you tell us about what instruments you play?
I mostly play guitar, and then I will bang on other things. Drums, if they're in the room, will take over a lot. You'll stop playing guitar if you have drums in the room. Piano, tiny bit, but really, I played mandolin actually the most out of anything else, but many, many years ago for a hot second in North Carolina. It was mm-hmm. kind of a band. We were playing Irish tunes and some kind of almost old-timey, bluegrassy vibe, and then our own tunes, and I spent a little time on the mandolin. Picked up the banjo here and there.
I've heard some of that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of piano on the most recent album, Before
yes.
We Turn to Dust.
Yes, that was the first time I've ever really had a piano around me a lot while I was writing these songs. I had a studio in San Francisco for a little while, and I bought a little piano off a friend of mine, R. Anderson. And so I had this piano, so I was writing a lot on the piano, but my skills are just very basic, just kind of banging out chords. And I thought about trying to actually play it on the session, but I felt like it would actually be a bit of a mess. So I got my friend Eric, who was playing guitar and drums and bass. He's one of those guys who actually can play everything, but piano is kind of like his third or fourth instrument. So I got him to play the piano. So the session would actually go somewhere, but still have a little bit of that vibe of somebody who's not super pro piano.
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of where I was at with the playing.
Yeah. Well, given those instruments and, you know, your music has now spanned over 20 years, you put out 7 albums, how would you characterize it, or how would you like people to think of your music?
My music? I always think of it as kind of lyrical and folk-oriented. The recording style is very documentary style, if that makes sense, because I just kind of take snapshots of whatever's going on around me at that time. It's not too big a production in terms of I'm going to make the track and it's going to be the thing. It's more just like, oh, I'm playing with this group of people right now. Let's see if we can get them all together. And you know, the production's gone up over the years a little bit, but still mostly it's done pretty quickly and rawly.
This is just like a snapshot of your life at the time.
Yeah, a lot of times the end product of the recording can be a lot like that, and the group of songs will usually be, you know, the last couple of years and what's been going on. So there's that kind of quality to the music, and to the story of the music, and the songs spanning all this time.
So you were born in New York and raised in North Carolina, and you moved out to San Francisco in the early 90s, is that right?
Exactly, yeah. 92, I think I got here 92, New Year's Eve, though, so December 31st,
oh, wow.
92. So the next day was 93. So I kind of, I would never remember except for that it was New Year's Eve that I pulled into town. From North Carolina, a friend of mine threw me in the back of his car and said, come on, and there was a whole group of people who I'd actually been in a theater class in high school who had all moved here after their colleges, and we all lived together for a few months and then all got our own places. And
it's a pretty good welcome to the city, though.
Yeah. Was it 20 years ago, over 20 years ago.
When you moved here, were you already starting to take music pretty seriously? Was it a big part of your life?
Yeah, it was a super, super big part. I'd already traveled a lot all over North Carolina and down to South Carolina and struggled with what am I doing. I was interested in theater and went to East Carolina University for a year and thought about studying theater. But music had started to really sneak in. I don't even consider myself a musician in a lot of ways. To this day, I'm more of a songwriter, mm-hmm. and come from a background of I was in this theater classes in high school, and they forced you to sing. You had to audition to be in the class with the song. So I wasn't a singer, but I was around these kids that could really sing.
Yeah.
So it broke the ice, and when I actually wrote words and put them to chords, that's when something clicked in me, more than like being a guitar player in a band or something like that or learning tunes. It was just that act of the imagination and then standing up and going, this is what I got. So something clicked there. And so the next several years, it started to really take over. And I went back and forth. And what am I doing? So typical early, late teens, early 20s.
Conundrums. I think it's common, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I always like to start out the show by asking for my guests to choose a song from their childhood that they can remember vividly. And you brought in the 1977 Billy Joel song, Vienna. So how old were you, or where were you when you heard this?
Well, I'm not going to be able to remember that specifically, but I remember Billy Joel and that record, too, The Stranger, just being one of my favorite records. And I have an older brother, 4 years older. I don't know if he had it or if my parents had that record. And I also remember Glass Houses. I remember, like, fourth grade, like, maybe the first time I ever had a girlfriend, and she just, like, you know, quick girlfriend, boom, and then she was like, oh, I'm with this guy over here. And I remember, like, listening to Billy Joel and being like, oh, my heart's, you know, whatever. So anyway, but I would learn all the words to a lot of those songs, you know. Italian Restaurant was another one I almost was going to say, but it's like 7 minutes long. Bottle of red and bottle of whites, perhaps a bottle of rosé tonight. That's me, like, fourth grade. I would stay home and listen. So
that's why you had a girlfriend in fourth grade.
The rest
of us didn't.
I guess. I don't know. It was quick. It was really quick. I didn't have another one for, like, 15 years or something. So, but yeah, Billy Joel somehow got in there, and it's interesting when I think about that as an early influence, along with, you know, the Beatles and all kinds of stuff. But that one kind of sticks out, his songwriting and his clarity of songwriting and his clarity of words and storytelling. That doesn't really happen as much now.
Well, it's interesting. Even he has said, you know, in interviews later, that I got that song right. You know, I was a kid writing these songs, but that was one that I got that one right.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Vienna from Billy Joel.
Awesome.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. That you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. Can't be everything you wanna be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight. Too bad, but it's the life you lead. You're so ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you could see when you're wrong, you know you can't always see when you're right, you're right. You got your passion, you got your pride, but don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Child, and take the phone off the hook and disappear for a while. It's alright, you can't afford to lose a day or two. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? And you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, why don't you realize Vienna waits for you? When will you realize Vienna waits for you?
That was Vienna by Billy Joel, a song chosen by my guest, Sean Hayes. And you brought in a guitar to perform a couple songs. I would love to hear the song Mary Magdalene, which it's from your first album in 1999, A Thousand Tiny Pieces. And you wrote this song before you actually moved to California?
I did. So that song was, so, you know, it took a lot, it was a lot harder making a record back in the early 90s. I actually made a cassette before I record. I had a little 7 songs cassette. So yeah, that song I wrote in North Carolina before I ever moved to San Francisco. And it's a kind of a strange song. It was inspired by I read about surrealism for the first time and Freud, and my brain was kind of getting twisted. And I was raised Catholic in a sense, not strictly, but, you know, it was Irish family, moved to North Carolina. We went to the Catholic school. And so that was all in my consciousness. And then I had a girlfriend and we were living together, and I was really trying to dedicate myself to music. And I remember this one particular night where I wanted to play guitar, and she had other ideas about what we should be doing. Of course, that always won. This song kind of came out the next day, and it had all these issues about fear of getting someone pregnant, actually. But then also this all of a sudden freedom of surrealism to say whatever I wanted, because reading about Dolly and surreal, it's like, oh, I can just say whatever. It just kind of broke me up, my young mind open to say, I can say that, I guess. So I'll sing the song, you'll see what I mean, maybe. So there's all kinds of other stuff in there. So see here. Mary Magdalene made love to me last night on my living room floor. The floor, the floor. Well, my love, my passion, she bottled and she rolled it out the door. The door, the door. Well, the window was open wide. All the world could see inside. And I'd forgotten what I was feeling anyway. Yeah, yeah. Mary Magdalene made love to me last night on my living room floor. The floor, the floor. And a hand rolled through my hair. She opened up my arms, I could hear the hammer slam. She nailed me to the wall, my shadow crucified on a living room wall. The wall, the wall. And my God, my God, my God is laughing in a corner. Yeah, yeah. Yes, my God, my God, my God is laughing in a corner. Yeah, yeah. Now slowly my shirt from my back and a hand across my chest. My belt falls from my waist, and we rolled onto the floor. The floor, the floor. We rolled onto the floor. The floor, the floor. And my God, my God, my God is crying in a corner. Yeah, yeah. Yes, my God, my God, my God is crying in a corner. Yeah, yeah. But now Mary's got a baby, it's alright. We got a little house in a yard, a yard, a yard. Well, I go to work all day, and we make love in the nighttime. Yes, yes. Ooh, you know that sometimes I get mad. You know that sometimes she gets mad. Yes, and I'd forgotten what I was feeling anyway. Yeah, yeah. Yes, my God, my God, my God. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Yeah, my God, my God, my God. Yeah, my God. Yeah, my God. Yeah, my God.
That was Sean Hayes performing the song Mary Magdalene here on Liner Notes. It's interesting, you mentioned in that song exploring surrealism, and when you first were saying there was this fear you had of getting your girlfriend pregnant, mm-hmm. and then surrendering to, I thought you were going to say just surrendering to that life all of a sudden of like, well, I'm young and I want to do my art, but okay, I'm here. And I mean, was that part of it as well? Or
no, it was a really deep fear of of ending up, you know, like I guess I had a strong feeling that I wanted to be an artist, and I knew how I mean, you just kind of intuitively know it's yeah. like a tricky road. And
you painted a nice picture of it, though. That's why I said,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I have two babies now, and it's all right. But it took me a while to give in to that. I had to give a lot of things a go as far as, you know, trying to make a living and being a musician. And I think maybe that, you know, you're kind of meant to have babies in your 20s, though, actually. Physically. they're kicking my butt.
How many kids do you have?
I have two. I have two boys, a 20-month or so old and a 4-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you also brought in a Nina Simone song, Zungo, and this is from a live album that she did in 1962. And I was familiar with some of the songs on this live recording, particularly the House of the Rising Sun, which I think is my favorite version of that song by anybody.
Yeah.
But I didn't know this song. It's a really beautiful song. I'm wondering, what do you take from a song like this?
You know, this song just sticks out, and I don't even know. I don't know what it's about or anything. It's like a kind of African, and it just sticks out in that concert, and it has a different time signature to it in a way. And so I came to this music, this particular record, when I lived in North Carolina. I went to the library and checked it out, and brought it home to my little apartment that cost $180 a month. and started to listen to Nina Simone for the first time, and it just laid me out on the floor in this particular record. And the liveness, you know, I would check out her other stuff pretty quickly afterwards, and a lot of times it was too produced for me at the time, especially with the strings and everything. This record is just, it's in a bar, you can hear the glasses clinking and the audience, you know, cheering her on, and the band is so incredible. And but this one just kind of as an example of one that just kind of stuck out. And I traditional musics and things just always hit me pretty hard. So this one had kind of that vibe and this kind of round quality that I find attracts me to music, and trancey almost quality to it. So yeah, those are some of the things it evokes. The whole record, though, just in her voice, of course.
That was Zungo by Nina Simone. You also brought in a Robert Johnson song, Love in Vain, from the 1937 recording, of course, shortly before he mysteriously died at the young age of 27, Robert Johnson, of course, who may or may not have sold his soul to the devil to be able to play the way that he did. And this was a song that you brought in to that you thought demonstrated some lyrical influence, which I thought was interesting because this song, it's a very simple song, but the longing and the desire, it really comes across. So I'm wondering if when you first started writing music, you were kind of looking more towards these older songs, maybe older blue songs than, say, like some of the more lyric dense music that was coming out of like the 50s and 60s with the folk revival and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. I've never been as far as like a super conscious direction. Things just kind of hit me and I devour them and I kind of throw them out and totally forget about them. So as far as my kind of like intellectual background towards approaching it, it's mostly not there. This song just kind of struck me, I think, in when you'd asked me about a song that I thought was, it's just kind of a perfect, it's just like three segments and it just tells the story and it's heartbreaking and it's all there. And it just seems like it's a perfect like block of a song. So that's kind of the song that popped up in my head as like an example. And I think you're influenced by, you know, a song like that, you hear it. And a lot of times if I'm really moved by a song, I try to learn it and then it gets in your blood and it comes out. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it's influenced, but I'm sure it has. And I do know that I will let songs be, if they're just a couple of lines and that's it, that's all it is, that's all it needs. I will never try to like plaster a bridge onto something because I think a song has to have a bridge, or my music is usually just super round. And like, you know, I think there's one song, The Moon Is on the Rise, The Light Is in Her Eyes. And I think there's maybe one other line to the song. So it's like, that's all it needs. And I'll just leave it at that. So maybe somewhere in the simplicity of particularly that song, got in my bloodstream some.
And I followed her to the station with a suitcase in my hand. And I followed her to the station with a suitcase in my hand. Well, it's hard to tell when all your love's in vain, all my love's in vain. When the train rolled up to the station, I looked her in the eye. When the train rolled up to the station, and I looked her in the eye. Well, I was lonesome, I felt so lonesome, and I could not help but cry, all my love's in vain. When the train, it left the station, with two lights on behind. When the train, it left the station, with two lights on behind. Well, the blue light was my blue, and the red light was my mind, all my love's in vain. Ooh, Willie Mae. Oh, ooh, Willie Mae.
I'm Max Jacobs, and this is Liner Notes. We just heard Love in Vain by Robert Johnson, a song chosen by Sean Hayes, my guest today. You wanted to play a Junior Kimbrough song, another Mississippi blues musician, though he's a little more recent, Most of his recordings were made in the 90s when he was in his 60s. What song do you want to play of his?
Oh, maybe I'll play this song, Meet Me in the City. Yeah, there's a great Junior Kimbrough recording of that, of him. I mean, it sounds like backyard, somebody holding a tape recorder.
And mm-hmm.
I love stuff like that. It's just so raw, and he's just playing it and singing it in this way that's impossible. But I will try to just do a little version of it. I've been playing it for a couple of years. We'll see what comes out. Meet me over in the city. Turn out so fine. We'll get together now, darling. Oh, yes, we will. We'll make everything all right now, honey, don't. Oh, honey, don't. Please, please don't leave me, girl, right now, right now. No, 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 no. You got me, baby. You got me, girl. You got me where you want me always. You know I'm keeping you satisfied. Sometimes I think I will, baby. But then again, my mind changed. You know I think I will, baby. But everything just rearranged. And please, now please don't leave me, girl, right now. No, 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 no. Junior Kimbrough.
Thanks so much for playing that. That was a really beautiful version of that song.
Thank you. I enjoy singing it.
You know, I can remember hearing that song for the first time, and I don't know if you've been able to express it, but I've never heard a blues song like that. You know, that felt so, there was just a quality to it. It felt so dreamlike.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I feel like I listened to it 20 times in a row after I first heard it.
That kind of hit me that way too, especially that there's a couple of different recordings of it. And there's this particular one where it's just him and the guitar and it's really sloppy and just, you know, obviously in the back room somewhere. His music in general just kind of hit me like, it's so raw. It's kind of, you can only listen to so much of it at a sitting too. Like you, it just kind of overwhelms you with its world. But then everything kind of sounds really put on after you hear it. Everybody else's music. So I get attracted to things like that in music. Almost more of these like weird little moments of a vibe. That accidentally got recorded weren't necessarily meant to happen, or you know, they just we just got lucky they're recorded.
We've heard a pretty wide array of music so far, but I want to delve into that a little bit deeper and talk about some pop music.
Sure.
You brought in a Rihanna song. the song Rude Boy, which you sometimes perform. And I saw you perform this song, and I didn't actually recognize it for a little while. You know, people were excited, and I was like, okay, something's going on with this song. And you changed it a little bit, but I was like, well, this could be a Sean Hayes song.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And you actually brought, you suggested that we play one of the songs off your latest record, Bam Bam. And when I started listening to that, I kind of had the same thought, like, well, if this was done a little bit differently, this, you know, this could be a major pop song too. And I just, how did that even, how did that come about?
I listen to all kinds of music, any music, and, I think I just, you know, checked her out. I think that was maybe the first time I'd really checked her out. You know, you see these big stars sometimes and they're just out there and you're like, oh, I wonder what that, maybe one day I'll go listen to it. And I think that was one of the first things I checked out, that record, and that particular song was on there. And that was the one that stuck out, just kind of stuck out to me as I was like, I dig that song. It's a cool song. And then, yeah, at some point I learned it and kind of, you know, changed the perspective a tiny bit, but not too much, and then just enjoyed singing it. And yeah, I would usually just try to, I even when I'm playing it with a band and stuff, I usually just bring the song in and sometimes don't even want them to listen to the original, just to see what they're going to kind of bring out of it. And I don't try to hold on and do things like exactly how they were recorded. I'll try to learn them as much as I can to learn from that, but then also just be really loose with it from night to night. So it's just kind of a fun kind of dance romp song.
Both of them are.
yeah, I don't know which one came first, but then Bam Bam is kind of a fun. Sometimes when I sing Bam Bam, which is, damn, the way you walk that thing, locked in a pocket, make a body ring. I always think of Snoop Dogg, actually, a little bit. Like, I like to hear him because he's got that sultry tone and stuff. And so sometimes right when I start that song, I'll think of his voice a little bit.
Well, when we have him on the show, I'll
Point it out to him, see if he'll do a cover. Damn.
Let's listen to Rude Boy, and then let's listen to Bam Bam.
All right.
I wanna do when I get beside you. I want to do. is right. I wanna see you. I want to do this right. I wanna be with you. I want to do you right. Yeah, that hourglass, gonna turn it over now, not too fast. I want this to last. Listen to the rhythm, we got it, yeah. Go ahead, fall down. You know I'm gonna catch you before you hit the ground. Boom, boom. When you look real close, hard to tell who's in control. Hip hop, hold on, let go. I want to do this right. I wanna see you. I want to do this right. I wanna be with you. I want to do you right.
I read an interview that you did where you described first coming to San Francisco and finding a community here, and you said that Jolie Holland was the queen bee. So I'd love to hear a Jolie Holland song that, and you actually, you chose this song, which seemed very fitting. It's essentially from, I mean, it's her debut album, but it's basically demos that were recorded in someone's living room.
It's really what you're talking about earlier. It's accidental recordings. Like, there was probably three or four different, one of my friends, who was part of that scene, Enzo, used to carry around one of these little Sony nice kind of field recorders, and I think half of that record is probably done just, you know, sitting in a room like this, like, or a bedroom of somebody's house, and, hey, play me that song, and he would press record. And so this collection of songs was there, and this other guy named Chris Arnold actually put all those songs together in a compilation and said, hey, look, it's a record. And then Jolie had a record, and next thing you know, it was making the rounds and made it into a record label. But it's a real example of just field recordings that made it into the world.
Yeah. When you left San Francisco a couple of years ago, what do you miss about that scene?
Well, that scene had been gone for a while. And that was even more the late 90s. It took a few years. I actually worked with Jolie a bit in a coffee shop, and then she disappeared, and I was, and she sang to me like that right before she left, and that just haunted me for years because it was so amazing. And then she came back, and then this kind of, so it was more of the late 90s where that this moment of a lot of folk musicians, and there was this great kind of scene of people songwriters and people playing. And also there's a great scene in the East Bay with like Etienne Desrochers and Bart Davenport and kind of bouncing between those. And so there's this great, vibrant few scenes going on. And I also would really run around and check out a lot of players. Like I liked, the Scott Amendolas and the Orange Mancinis or the Brown Fellinis, like kind of jazz guys, just heavy hitter people. I would kind of religiously go run around and try to see things like that. So I was really active and kind of out looking for music and looking for songwriters and going to open mics, going to wherever I could be. Now, like I said, I have two babies and that world doesn't even exist for me anymore. It's an impossibility, actually. Like I can hardly get out of the house. I mean, it's like, especially the age they are. And then moving up to up north out of San Francisco, it's such a huge part of me, the mission, and just that for the last 20 years being here. But also it's just been wonderful up there and kind of seamless and suits this environment that I live in now with raising children and trying to write songs and working at it every day. But you can't just go up and say, hey, I'm going to go see music right now.
Yeah.
It does. So take advantage of it, all you people who... might,
we're trying.
You're more free than you realize.
Well, the latest record that you put out before we turned to dust, that record, you had one baby at that point, right?
I had one. I kind of wrote some of the songs when I knew a baby was on the way, and then some of them after the baby came. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, yeah, two babies later.
There was one song in particular, "Miss Her When I'm Gone." There's a beautiful music video for it, which seemed... It seemed like it was a love letter to San Francisco, and the song is basically a love letter to your family. But I'm wondering if it was also sort of a goodbye to San Francisco.
Well, at the time, I didn't know I was leaving San Francisco. Definitely, I am a little bit of a refugee as well of the whole tech thing. Like, we looked for a place right when we knew we were having the first baby, and we almost pulled the trigger on this beautiful place that was expensive but doable. And then fast forward like 2 years later when we knew we were having a second baby, and it was game over, period. So we definitely would have stayed in the mission and been there, but that was completely just impossible, gone. But at the same time, it's fine. Like, I love where we ended up. And even more, I was saying, like, you do kind of age out a little bit, I guess. Where it's not even age out. It's just you land on a different planet when you're taking care of these little creatures. So, that was an accidental. Or it was just the video was actually a favor. I played a benefit for the women who have Clean White Lines. They do great video production. And she just threw out that idea. It was her idea to do a little document style. I was a little trepidatious of doing a video with my child in it and stuff, but then I was like, it came out very beautiful, and yeah, it's a great little document of at a certain time period in our lives with that song.
Well, let's hear a little San Francisco set. Let's hear Periphery Waltz by Jolie Holland, and then we'll hear the Sean Hayes song, Miss Her When I'm Gone.
When the spring authorities of our culture tell us to get down on our knees and beg for salvation from some divinity. Is it any wonder there are people begging on the streets for salvation from poverty? Well, it's no surprise to me. It's no surprise to me. Well, I left my home and the church. I left my home and the suburbs to wander. Now I did it all for my dreams, and the star that I followed fell from the periphery. And the streetlights slipping down my windshield fell like falling stars. Down a dark country road where I first left my home when I was 17.
18. And I paid my respects to my fellow rejects, but I tended to wander along, like I was listening to the words of a song, whispered soft and low. It's kind of like dancing, it's kind of like losing your mind. Now I've often considered the impracticability of my life. And the moon we have.
That was the Sean Hayes song, Miss Her When I'm Gone, here on Liner Notes. Before that was Periphery Waltz by Jolie Holland. We're nearing the end of my interview with Sean Hayes, who's got one last song to play for us. Before that, though, I want to let you know you can check him out at the New Parish in Oakland on February 20th. We'll post a link to that at our website, klw.org. A big thanks today to Audrey Dilling for stepping in as our studio engineer. I hope you'll check us out next week for a new artist, a new set of records, and a new story here on Liner Notes. Sean, you wanted to play a new song to take us out, but before we hear that, I just want to say thank you for taking some time to play music for us.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course.
Yeah.
What song do you want to play for us?
I was just realizing I don't read the title of this. I sometimes call it Boom Boom Baby, I think, and I've called it a few other things. It's not recorded yet, so I haven't really had to name it. Rooftop Serenade is a random video. Okay, so we'll call it Boom Boom Baby for now. Let's see here. Had to put it together, build it up just right, one before the other, no stars before the night. I know a fever when I got one, ooh, you know I got one, building this space inside. There's no healing, there's no doctor, oh, I'm gonna have to fight my own fight. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. You know I'm ready for, you know I'm dying, I'm not afraid to let you in. I'm not scared to show you how I'm feeling, because time and time again I wasted time when I could have been falling in. Oh, everything must end. There's no use pretending when I'm coming for ya. I'm ready, oh, oh. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. You know I'm coming for, you know I'm howling, oh, oh. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. Boom, boom, baby, come on, come on. You know I'm ready for, you know how many moves must have all but do. Help me turn up the heat inside this room. No reason to wait. I know, you know, it's true. Yeah, when I met you, I started running for you. When I met you, I started coming to you. Oh, when I met you, I was cut through and through. I've been falling ever since. Come on, come on. When I met you, I started running for you. When I met you, I started coming to you. Yeah, when I met you, I was cut deep, I was cut. I've been falling ever since. Howling, howling, I'm dying for you. I'm always dying for you. Every day, you're all I wanna do. All right.